your next great vacation might be something you've never even considered. A private yacht in a beautiful location just for you and your closest friends and family. Explore the beaches of the Virgin Islands, the ancient shores of Greece, or the tropical paradise of Tahiti. This is not a cruise. This is a yacht charter vacation with The Moorings. And it's easier than you think. With hundreds of award-winning yachts to choose from, located in over 20 beautiful sailing destinations, the world is in your hands. Whether you're an experienced boater or looking for a more genuine once-in-a-lifetime vacation, The Moorings can make your dream a reality. Call us today and start your journey to your next great escape. Your private yacht awaits at moorings.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You are now listening to the Philly Pod,
a Philadelphia sports podcast.
What is going on, y'all? Welcome to another episode of the Philly Pod, brought to you by thelibertyline.com. I am your host, as always, Victor Williams. Be sure to follow me on all social media platforms over at Philly Pod. Do the same for my faithful co-host here, Stephen Conrad Jr. We are fresh off the first day of NFL training camp with a lot of new looks on the offense, a lot of news, a lot of intel into what the Eagles are trying to do as they head into the 2024 season. We heard from Howie Roseman, we heard from Nick Sirianni, we heard from multiple Eagles players, Hurts, AJ Brown, and all of those guys. So a lot of good stuff coming out of that. A very exciting time, Stephen. It's very funny to me how like the minute training camp hits, like it's football season. We don't have to wait for preseason. We don't have to wait for week one in this town anyway. I don't know if it's the same around the country, but in this town, it is football season is in full effect. And you can tell just by the minute Hurts ran out onto the field today that, oh yeah, football is back and it's an exciting time.
Yeah, you know, and maybe it's a testament to how bad the taste was in our mouth coming off of last season. Obviously, you always generally are excited when training camp rolls around, but I don't know about you, and I'm sure a lot of people agree with me. It just feels way more exciting this year. Maybe it's just because there was so much change made. You know, we're kind of lucky. We're fortunate to be in this position, rooting for a team that should be contending for a Super Bowl, but even then, like, you can say what you want about last season, how it ended and everything, but at the end of the day, they were a playoff team. I'm not making any excuses or anything, but a team that was in the playoffs upgraded supremely at both coordinator positions and brought in one of the best running backs in the league into a very, very, very good offense, you know? So, like, I don't know. When you look around the league, I don't really know how many contending teams made that much change. And, like, obviously a lot of this remains to be seen, but I hate doing that. We're sitting here talking about the fucking Eagles on July 24th. I hate doing the on paper conversation. I mean, like, on quotations on paper. You have to. Today was just the first day of training camp. Like, you have to do it.
Yeah, I understand.
Off the top of your head, what do you think? Maybe, like, the Ravens? Like, who? You know what? The Chiefs did good. I don't know if they, I mean, they're the Chiefs. They you know.
Yeah. I mean, you think of the Ravens, anyway, you think of the Chiefs, you think of the Texans who upgraded as well.
Right, right.
And they kept a lot of their core pieces in place. So you think of those teams. As far as the NFC is concerned, I mean, like we mentioned on yesterday's show, if the Eagles are as good as they appear to be as far as the depth chart is concerned, then it's going to be tough for anybody.
Yeah, like, doesn't
in the
it feel like a lot of the other teams were, in a way, putting out fires? Like, the Niners are dealing with issues with contracts.
Yeah, Brandon,
I don't even know if it's contracts for both receivers. Maybe it's just simply them wanting to, you know, maybe test the trade market, whatever it may be. And obviously the Cowboys having contract issues throughout the team, you know? So,
yeah, CeeDee Lamb not getting paid. Brandon, I
Bills had to put
paid.
Out a fire. They traded their number one receiver, right?
Bills don't
or was
have.
It a
Josh
free
Allen.
Agent signing?
Josh Allen doesn't have. They traded Stephon Diggs with the Bills. Don't have anybody for Josh Allen to throw to. They moved on from Gabe Davis. They lost a lot of guys. So as far as the NFC is concerned, the Eagles, from my perspective, are out in front. And this today's training camp, the very first practice that the Eagles had this summer, gave a lot of good signs. It's what we could be seeing as far as 2024 is concerned. But before we dive into that first day of training camp, I want to shout out our guys over at Autograph, who have a very good app. They were we uploaded the pod yesterday, and I saw them in the app immediately. So the fact that you don't even need to go to a podcast app, you can just go in there and listen to it from there while you're reading other news and stuff. They have a good way of doing things. It's your one-stop shop for everything you love about your favorite teams. Read blogs, listen to podcasts, watch breakdowns, all in one place, and earn rewards for every act of fandom that you do. They give you coins and stuff that you can cash in. There's a jersey giveaway on there right now. You earn coins by reading stuff and listening to stuff. They have a jersey giveaway going on. They have tickets for NFL games going on. They're giving those away as well. So a lot of good things you can get from Autograph just by participating in the community.
Damn,
just
I
by
if
reading
we can get
content.
A ticket to that Tennessee-Alabama game.
I know they got. Yeah, we've been looking at that. There's definitely the jerseys what I have my eye on today, and the currency isn't even a lot to get in there. Autograph curates the best content with exclusive scoops from sources that actually know your team. In a world of hot takes and first takes, Autograph has all the takes that put your fans first. They also have the Gotta Get There feature that allows you to get tickets for the correct cost, not additional fees, processing fees, all this other stuff. You can get the tickets for what they actually are valued at, and Autograph provides that service as well. They take the secondary prices from the third parties and they make it so that you can get them for those prices. So be sure to download the Autograph app today on the App Store or Google Play Store, whatever device you have. It is absolutely free. Use referral code PhillyPod when you sign up, and be sure to take part in everything they have going on over there. So I guess before the practice, some kind of notes, some news, if you will. As soon as we got off the pod, of course, we got this news that rookie cornerback Cooper DeJean is going to miss the first 3 weeks of training camp with a hamstring injury. It occurred during an offseason workout. Per Jeremy Fowler of ESPN, he said he was caught in an awkward position during offseason training. I don't know what that means. Awkward landing. Maybe he did a workout wrong. I'm not sure, but it's giving his hamstring some issues, and he's going to be out 3 weeks. The Eagles are confident in a quick recovery and that he will contribute as expected this season. Now, he is a rookie. It's tough for rookies. They're already kind of behind, and now you're going to miss most of training camp. It's going to be tough for Cooper DeJean. I know you can do mental reps and all that stuff, but it's going to be tough for him to catch up to speed.
Especially a guy that could be playing multiple positions.
Yeah. And especially, I think, man, hamstring injuries have a way of lingering around. They don't just go away. Hamstrings are tricky, especially at the defensive back position. You see a lot of corners have issues with hamstrings, and you don't want to see something like that this early. So you hope it's just a tweak, nothing too concerning. Hopefully it's not something that's going to hamper him all season long. He is coming off a broken fibula, I believe, he suffered last November with Iowa. That kept him out of the combine. He did have his own pro day after he healed fully from that. But you don't want to pile on these injuries early. So hopefully it's just a tweak. He gets over it, and then he can contribute this season. I see you over there looking timid. Are you concerned about it here? We all wanted to see what Cooper could do, especially in training camp. What are your thoughts on when you hear that he's going to miss the first 3 weeks of these sessions?
Just sucks because, like, right now is such a crucial time. Especially for a rookie, like it, all capitals for a rookie, you know. I'm gonna float this out there. I don't want to jinx or put bad energy out there. I just gotta let this out. I am a traumatized Philly fan. When I read that report for the first time yesterday,
on thelibertyline.com, right?
Well,
that's where you read it.
Got there eventually, but I saw. Come on, man! I'm on social media when I saw it. I was on college football at the time. I was scrolling my phone.
That was your chance to pitch the site. Didn't
we pitch it? Let me get there. I thought of Markelle Fultz right away.
As far as what? How is it comparable?
Because I'm not blaming anybody. It's just the way it was worded. Whoever, I can't remember. It was an Instagram Eagles page that put it out there. I couldn't tell you who it was, but you read it out loud. The way it was worded, it sounded terrible.
Oh, that he was caught in an awkward position.
And I read that. That's the first thing I saw, and I'm like, wait, the Eagles.
You know what? You're right, because the NFL.
You understand what I'm saying here?
When you get placed,
I'm not saying
NFL
that's going to happen to him, but it's just like, whoa, is this like a non-football thing? You like fell? What do you fall?
Yeah, when you get placed on the NFI list, that list is for people that got injured outside of football activities.
That's what I'm saying.
So I see your point.
Or was it just a workout?
It was a workout, but like it wasn't like around the Eagles. It was like, it was
look, like, I'm not accusing him or anything like that. Like, it's shit happens. I totally get it. I'm not saying he was riding a fucking motorcycle.
ATV, like Markov Fultz. Football injury list is used for players who suffered injuries outside of NFL activities, but they still count toward a team's 90-man roster.
Okay.
So he wasn't like,
I'm
in
just
the
saying
facility.
That's where my mind went.
He didn't
that's
get
all.
Hurt
that's
with the
saying.
Team. He didn't get hurt in a game. He got hurt on his own. So they have to use the NFI list.
Yep, not the, that's
not
all
the,
I'm saying.
Not the pup list that Sidney Brown is currently on. He's on his own list. And then hopefully he comes off it in 3 weeks. And that is that. So for now, Avante Maddox is the starting nickel, as we saw in training camp. So the way camp unfolded, the Eagles day one starters, we broke a lot of this down on yesterday's show about position battles and how we think things are going to shake out. We did say that we assumed that Tyler Steen was going to get first crack, and it's his job to lose. He did get the first reps at starting right guard. Your guy, Stephen Mekhi Becton, was starting left guard because Landon Dickerson was out of today's practice with a toe laceration, I believe it was. Linebacker Zach Bond and Devin White were the first team linebackers, not N'Kobe Dean. Interesting there. Isaiah Rogers was the starting CB2. He got first crack at cornerback outside or opposite of Darius Slay. Avante Maddox, we mentioned, starting nickel with no Cooper DeJean, Paris Campbell at WR3, and then Keely Ringo and Quinion Mitchell were the second team starting corners. Two guys that we figure will be in the mix this season. But I said on yesterday's show that I'd be shocked if Quinion was starting come week one. Now, this is just the first practice. You can't read too much into it. But the fact that Isaiah Rogers got a starting gig, and then later on, Keely Ringo got first team reps. He rotated in with Rodgers. So that tells you that, of course, Quinion Mitchell, your rookie, pay your dues, you know, work your way up the ladder. But it does tell me that Isaiah Rogers and Keely Ringo are going to be the safe options when the season does open. So the way you see the starters, as you see fit now, Steven, with Steen at right guard, Becton left guard because no Dickerson, Zach Bond and Devin White at linebackers. Those are interesting guys. And then Rogers as CB2. What are your first reactions to when you see that those guys are starting in the first practice?
Well, I wanted to come out and apologize less than 24 hours later about claiming. No, I'm kidding.
I was hoping.
I caught up here and said one of the camp battles would be at the right guard position with Mekhi Becton and Tyler Steen. And, well, it looks like that battle has ended because apparently Becton threw up not once, not twice, but 10 times at practice today. I'm only kidding. That's crazy, though. No, seriously.
About him throwing up. He did throw up. Yes.
So Vic texted me, you know, before we got up on here and said Becton threw up. And I'm like looking through Twitter, and the first thing I pull up is a Philly Voice blog. And where is it? Somewhere in here. I don't know if he's like exaggerating, but literally it's Mekhi Becton threw up 10 times before returning.
He heaved 10 times. It wasn't like full blown vomiting 10 times, but he heaved up 10 times. So, but it was towards the end of practice. You know, it's hot, it's humid. Becton probably isn't like, you know, his physical build isn't built for endurance. I mean, it should be in the NFL, but it's the first practice
stout
of the summer.
Was on this man's ass or something.
So stout. I was trying to think of his reaction like, fuck man, I can't be throwing up in the first practice. But I've been there before.
It's so weird because like I have a fear of vomiting, first of all. And second of all, you don't want to appear weak. So, like, the only choice you have to do is just run and puke as you're throwing up. No, I'm kidding.
It is what it is. And 7-on-7s, Keely Ringo was CB2 at 7-on-7s. He started out there. Then N'Kobe Dean started next to Devin White at linebacker in the first 7-on-7 sessions. So, looks like the trio that they have in confidence in is Rogers, Ringo, and Quinion Mitchell at CB2 right now, and then N'Kobe Dean, Devin White, and Zach Bond are all getting first-team linebacker reps. So that's how that looks on the defensive front. I'm not surprised to see Isaiah Rogers start opposite Darius Slay because he was one of the better corners during OTA, so I figured that he and Ringo would definitely get their opportunities at CB2, and we're going to see how all that shakes out. The most exciting thing in this practice, I was going to lead off with it, but I didn't want to jump right into it. But we got some motion up in here. We got our first sign of motion on the offensive side of the football. Our first sign of it. It is, we prayed for it. We begged for it.
Hey, I'll do it right now. Let me get this out of the way. I wrote an Eagles 2024 training camp preview at thelibertyline.com. And that was one of the first things that I said. I said motion.
Thank you for pitching the website. You know, you lost your opportunity the first time, but you made the most of it this time. So we got our first instance of pre-snap motion in this practice. It was a play where the Eagles ran Saquon in motion. They faked a pitch to him, Hurts did, and then got, you know, the defense bit on it, and then Hurts ran off for a big gain on the ground. Now, some fans are like, we're still running with Hurts. What are we doing?
Oh,
like, we're gonna run with Jalen Hurts. He's a dynamic dual threat running back. You're not just because we have Saquon and just because he was hurt last year doesn't mean we're not going to run with Jalen Hurts anymore. But the fact that you have the threat of Saquon Barkley now being able to do what he does, and he had already got the whole defense to bite on a fake pitch when you sent this man in motion. He commands so much attention when he runs in motion. The whole defense was like, oh my God, what's happening? Gave him the pitch. Defense thought he was running with it. Nah. Jalen Hurts running the other way for a 20-yard gain.
Just thought of something. Has Saquon thrown an NFL pass? I feel like he has.
I believe so. I mean, he's not like Derrick Henry level of, you know, touchdown passers.
Just remember I said that today on July 24th.
Well, remember that when he throws for a touchdown in week 8 and that we're going to come back.
I'm just thinking, man. I'm just thinking about that play, you know. I'm just thinking.
That's what's going to happen. So it was fun.
You got to future proof some of these plays, man. You got to future proof.
Future proof from those. So it was fun to see that first instances of motion that we're getting. We're seeing some handoffs to Saquon. We saw some read options to Saquon. Hurts running with it, pitching it to Saquon. We saw a lot of that. And we saw a lot of quick passes to Saquon Barkley. So it looks like for the first time in his 5-year NFL career, Jalen Hurts is going to utilize the check down. This may be the year it happens because there's a lot of swing passes and out passes to Saquon Barkley today. Hurts looked better today than he did in OTAs. Up and down he was for most of OTAs, understandably so. We spoke on it yesterday. New offense, new system, new terminology. AJ said throughout his presser today, new terminology. We have to learn all this new stuff. But Hurts was good today. A lot of intermediate passes, your favorite, the intermediate game. But he did have one good 30-yard throw, touch pass to Dallas Goedert. So he does have these plays in practice where he reminds you, like, yeah, I'm a top-five quarterback.
Good to hear we're utilizing Goedert down the field, you know?
I know. We said it yesterday on the show. We got to use Goedert. And he hit him for a 30-yard pass in today's practice. So that was good as well. There's a lot of excitement on the internet, understandably so, about motion, Steven, because we were, I believe, dead last in the league, I want to say, in motion rate. And the Chargers were ranked 8th in motion rate with Kellen Moore leading the offense in Los Angeles last year. The Chargers are in Los Angeles, right? Yeah, in Los Angeles last year. So when you're hearing that Kellen Moore is already busting out the trick plays and the motions in the first practice, how do you feel about that and your stance on the whole motion? Is it overblown with the Eagles? Like, motion's not all that? Or is it like, yes, we need to use motion early and often?
Well, it's absolutely great to hear. That was my biggest thing with the offense this early on, you know, into training camp is what you wanted to see. Obviously, it would be great if, you know, your quarterback comes in there and looks sharp. But again, it's still early, and this is the time for, you know, you to wrinkle out some of the issues you may have, or the rust, get that shake off the rust. But you can't put too much stock into QB performances early in the training camp, especially. But that, for me, on the offensive side of the ball, that was the most important thing.
For those of you that do, Hurts had one incompletion today, and it was a drop pass. He hit every other pass.
It's great to hear.
So, because if he didn't, you would definitely hear about it. Not to cut you off. My apologies.
No, I'm sure about you, though. That was probably your biggest thing you wanted to see. Like, you wanted to hear about the offense was that they're utilizing motion. Like, just, you know, creativity, some fresh new stuff. We knew the offense was going to be new, but that's what you wanted to see from the offense, right?
Yes, sir. That's exactly what you wanted to see. And the fact that he's busting out in the first practice, not wasting any time.
Now, as far as motion usage, though, I think it is overstated.
Yeah, I felt like that's what I asked. I felt like, because I
mean,
feel
you don't
like
want to be dead last, but like, again, you shouldn't be like, oh, let's strive to be the number one team in the league that utilizes motion. Like, I don't know about that either.
Now I will say, now it does appear to me that it's a meshing of like Sirianni concepts and whatever Kellen Moore is trying to implement. For now, it looks like it's a mesh. A lot of the playbook was thrown out, but Hurts did operate out of shotgun for most of the day today. So a lot of people want the under center stuff. I know you're one of them. I'm not saying it's not going to happen, but a lot of this was out of shotgun today.
We'll have to ease
Hurts into doing more under center stuff, but like 80 to 85% of the plays today where we're out of shotgun.
Yeah, like, I guess we'll have to see before we make any, like, judgments, but I just wonder, maybe it is a comfortability thing, and maybe we'll see some more stuff under center, but that was another big one for me. Like, aside from motion, I just wanted to see that. I just think you can just give the defense, you know, some different looks. I mean, I don't know. Is it a comfortability thing? Sometimes I wonder, do you think
they
like,
want to keep that read option alive?
Yeah, that's true. That could be, Yeah, because it's a threat on every down when you line up in shotgun, essentially. I mean, mm-hmm. I wonder if it's a height thing, though. You ever wonder about that?
He can't Jalen's see
not
when
the tallest of quarterbacks.
If he can see, it's not like he's not.
Yeah,
like
but
Bryce
when he's
Young,
in shotgun,
he
it kind of gives him a better view, gives him a little bit more time.
Yeah, I understand.
Dropbacks, perhaps.
I understand, but it's good to see the creativity early. Good to see the Saquon usage early. Looks like he's definitely, as he should be, being one of the focal points of this offense. So Hurts looked sharp. Saquon looked good, and we're seeing creativity early, which is very good.
Your next great vacation might be something you've never even considered. A private yacht in a beautiful location just for you and your closest friends and family. Explore the beaches of the Virgin Islands, the ancient shores of Greece, or the tropical paradise of Tahiti. This is not a cruise. This is a yacht charter vacation with The Moorings. And it's easier than you think. With hundreds of award-winning yachts to choose from, located in over 20 beautiful sailing destinations, the world is in your hands. Whether you're an experienced boater or looking for a more genuine once-in-a-lifetime vacation, The Moorings can make your dream a reality. Call us today and start your journey to your next great escape. Your private yacht awaits at moorings.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We got some pressers to begin the practice today from Sirianni, from Howie Roseman, and then we got some players at the end of practice. I want to touch on some of the things that Howie Roseman said, because he was asked about the WR3 spot. We talked about it a lot on yesterday's show, about wide receiver 3, Paris Campbell, Anaya Smith, some of the other names, Johnny Wilson, some of the other names, John Ross, that could potentially come up and compete for that spot. Howie Roseman had a very interesting statement when he was asked about it. He said that's something we're going to be watching daily, which leads me to believe that what I said yesterday, that the current WR3 isn't on the roster. I feel like Howie believes that as well, because if he doesn't like what he sees in training camp, he's going to go out and get one of these guys that we mentioned yesterday, Treylon Burks, Terrace Marshall, John Metchie, whatever the situation is. I feel like Howie has that spot circled on the depth chart and says, if I don't see something in these 2 to 3 weeks, I'm making a move to make sure that we are not in a tough spot. In a worst case scenario, we don't have AJ or Devontae or what have you. So what does that say to you, Steven? I know you were busy during that whole presser, but when you hear that Howie Roseman is watching intently on that WR3 spot, what is your thought process?
Well, if your GM is saying that, that means he is ready to, he's prepared to take every, I would assume every action necessary to make sure that position is solidified, I guess is the word. So that means, I mean, he has to say that.
Of course.
Could maybe light a fire under the ass.
But he didn't. He could have said, I like the guys that we have, and just moved on. But he didn't say
yeah,
that.
So.
He said, I'm watching that. I'm watching that daily to see what we have. And if I don't like it, we are making a move.
I guess I'd rather him say that than, right, just, back
the
Sirianni guys
answer.
And leave it at that.
Sirianni answered before they traded for A.J. Brown. We like the guys we have, Devontae Smith and friends.
Remember Sirianni said he believed Quez Watkins could be one of the, was it wide receiver twos in the league?
That was,
he said
yeah, but that was an effort to recoup his confidence. Obviously that wasn't a thing. One of the bigger stories that has been going on this offseason is clearly the Sirianni Hurts. Do they like each other? Do they hate each other? Is there a disconnect? What have you? And that was one of the first questions that was asked to both Nick Sirianni as well as Jalen Hurts. In today's pressers, Nick Sirianni, when asked, he said he doesn't put much stock into the reports of the disconnection between himself and Hurts. He says their relationship is good, and he now has to carve out extra time for Jalen because now that he's not as much involved into the offense, he was in the QB room all the time in previous years. Now he's not in there full time. He's poking his heads in other rooms, and now he has to carve out time to go talk to Jalen, make sure he's good, and they can have their conversations at that time. Jalen said that he believes in the direction that Nick Sirianni has his team when he was asked. They tried to, the reporters tried to jump on him in the beginning. He cut everyone off and said, let me just say this. Last year was tough. There were some things that going on, but I believe in the direction that Sirianni has his team. I believe it's a group effort, and we all have to believe to make this work. So, Steven, I don't think I ever even really asked you if we've ever discussed it, because it was kind of a foolish topic in our minds. But what is your read on just the whole Hurts Sirianni going from the end of last year into the offseason, now into training camp with Sirianni still as head coach? Your read on the entire dynamic between Hurts and Sirianni as it stands.
What if I told you Jalen Hurts was frustrated with how last season as a whole went and how things were going?
He said there was obvious frustrations.
And perhaps, you know, deep down knew that there needed to be change. I'm not saying he thought Sirianni should be canned, but, you know, deep down knew that there should be some sort of change. And I'm a big believer. I'm one of those guys. I'm a body language police type of guy. And he was all smiles. Every clip I see him, he's smiling. He seems happy. Was overly, not overly, but he was, yeah.
Talking about Jalen. Okay.
Yeah, he was far more vocal even in the press conferences, you know, from like the clips that I saw. He just seemed way more social, way more upbeat, optimistic, excited. Whereas last year he honestly gave his best Bill Belichick impression. It felt like as a whole he would be very short oftentimes and would have that just like blank look on his face, and he was all smiles today. You know,
when he sat down for the presser, first thing he says is it's good to be back, with a bright grin. You feel like he takes offense to that this man never smiles, and that now all he's doing is smiling, making sure that everybody
Oh, is there gonna be those people that say, oh, he's faking this now, just like last year he's
not
pretending to put
it
on his Kobe Bryant? Guys, he's a human being. He can be You know, he can feel.
He does
emotions.
Seem looser. He seems looser. Like
he's not
like
a robot.
Yeah, he seems looser this year. Like
people forget too. Like, I think we put too much stock into it as a whole, but people forget. Like early on in his career, and even his first few years as a starter, he was more expressive. You know, obviously he's not the most like vocal guy on the team, but you know, he's not just this like stone cold leader, you know, and he's allowed to be that at times too, you know. Like I mean,
we've seen the clips in years past of like him firing up, you know, the huddles and his post game speeches and all that stuff. And he said in today's press that his message, like he's been giving his message to the team, and we've seen the reports this offseason of him taking a more vocal approach this year, you know, making sure that he's contributing to the offense and not just kind of being told what to do, giving feedback, things like that. So he definitely seems like he's more. Even when it comes to calls at the line of scrimmage, making changes at the line of scrimmage, he said the reason why he didn't do that a lot in the past was because Jason Kelce was there, and Jason Kelce was the one making all these changes. And because it was Kelce, you just kind of let him do it. Not that he didn't want to do these things, Jalen Hurts, but he just kind of let Kelce because he's Jason Kelce. But now he says he's excited to make these changes at the line of scrimmage, and Kellen Moore is going to give him the freedom to hot route and audible and all this fun stuff that he wasn't able to do in the past. So I think that that freedom is going to help him a ton once he gets out of it. Because a lot of the end of last season, I think AJ even said in the Seattle game, like we kind of just ran our own routes. Like we were just doing what we wanted to do at the end of the year. And that's never a good sign. That's also signs of disconnect with the coaching staff. So I think Hurts is ready to take on a bigger role if possible, you know, in this offense and make the changes at the line of scrimmage and really take the lead now that kind of he's really the leader of this. He had Kelce and other guys, but he's the surefire leader now, and that's unquestionable. And I think Hurts knows that as well. When Sirianni was speaking, he looked like that he truthfully didn't read into any of this stuff because he knows Jalen. He was here when Jalen's first year as a starter, and he knows what they've been through, and he knows the relationship they have. And I'm going to go ahead and trust that. Howie also obviously chipped in on a lot of these things and said that it's a group effort between me, Sirianni. Sirianni chipped in when we drafted Quinion. He knew the Toledo coaches. He gave me intel on Quinion and helped out there and things like that. So everybody seems to be on the same page as of the first day of training camp.
Wait, what did you just say? Who gave who input on Quinion?
Nick Sirianni. He was friends with he knew Toledo's coaches, so he got intel from Quinyon. If anybody knew Quinyon, it was the guys that Sirianni knew. They got every injury report.
So you're telling me Quinyon's a Nick Sirianni guy, so he, oh boy, hey.
Well, Sirianni knew the Toledo coaches, and any information that they wanted about Quinyon Mitchell, they were able to get.
Let me find out Toledo. Nick Sirianni's improving this defense, motherfucker. Yeah, coach.
He got any piece of CEO coach, any piece of information that they wanted, that they could have asked for about Quinyon Mitchell, they gave him because Sirianni had that connection. Those things are valuable.
That counts.
That counts when you're a CEO. Don't gotta be calling plays. I wanna speak briefly about James Bradbury, because he's still on the roster and he's no longer strictly a cornerback. Howie Roseman said that learning corner and safety is going to be important for James Bradbury's chances of remaining on the roster this summer. He was the second team safety with Tristan McCollum today. James Bradbury was. This is comical at this point. This is what we're trying to do with him. Trying to cross train him. We're having him on the second team. I don't know what the deal is. You can't trade him. You're not going to cut him and just eat the salary cap. I don't know what it is we're doing with James Bradbury, but apparently they want him playing safety in some facet this year.
He probably, I don't know if this is even the right thing to say here, but I mean, if Cooper DeJean is down, maybe that opens something up. I'm just going to assume, but
that's a good assumption.
I mean, you got to do something with him right now. He's on the team still, and he's making all that money. So,
yep. And they're just going to try and see what they can. They want to try and get some type of value. If they can show a team, hey, look, he can play safety.
Yeah, I mean, nobody wants cornerback James Bradbury.
Give me a six.
Maybe somebody wants safety James Bradbury.
Safety James Bradbury? You need a safety. We've been training him. He's ready. Six-rounder?
Could the Panthers use a safety?
No.
Not like a vet-type safety, you know?
No.
They could use a vet, man. I saw that video of did you see that video of Bryce Young walking into practice?
Yes, I'm the one that sent it to you.
Dude. I thought it was fake for a second. I'm like, hold up. Is this like AI or what is this?
Kid waiting for the bus. More note on Saquon. I know we're hopping around a bit, but he was used as a decoy on a QB keeper, which is pretty exciting. Like Hurts kept it. Saquon was used.
Saquon's a decoy a lot, it seems, huh?
He's a decoy. He was pretty busy today on passes. He was used at there was another play where he was used at a decoy for a design QB run. So that was fun as well. That's something I just remembered, not to hop around from offense to defense. A special teams note, Britton Covey, you're a guy. Got some, obviously, punt return duties. John Ross, Anaya Smith, and Isaiah Rogers also shared punt return duties.
Wow.
So, Britton
Covey,
we
went
maybe
from
not,
having
maybe
only
not
one
solidified
punt
on, the
on the roster to a goddamn platoon. There's the word again.
We all said, dude, it's by committee. Why do you keep saying platoon? Committee.
Because I'm in baseball mode, man.
Yeah,
big win
are.
Last
yeah,
night, by
are.
The way.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Finally.
Yeah. Big win for the Phillies. So maybe
I think they
could
use Howie Roseman at this trade deadline, because I see people saying like, they're just gonna make marginal moves. Sorry, wrong fucking podcast. Sorry.
Garrett Crochet. Some pitches they're trying to get in here.
I want Luis Robert.
Luis Robert. What was I saying? Oh, Covey. About his quote unquote solidified roster spot because he's the lead punt returner. I don't know anymore, because now you got guys who play other positions who can also punt return. You don't want to keep a guy on the roster who only can strictly
feels
punt
like
return.
The early 2000s days when you hear a cornerback's returning punts. You know what I'm saying? I feel like that was like a big trend for a while.
That was an 03 thing. But now in your eyes, Britton Covey can play receiver. So we'll see what he does. Britton Covey still has, I think, the surest hands back there. But we'll see how.
What makes a good slot wide receiver? If I'm Britton Covey, man, I am studying the hell out of Kellen Moore's playbook. I'm sucking up to the guy, obviously keeping up with my punt returning duties, but I'm not dropping a single ball, and I am perfecting my slot routes in the Kellen Moore offense. That's what I'm doing.
Speaking of that, Paris Campbell, clear WR3. I think I mentioned this earlier, clear WR3 at the moment. It's like him and the rest at the group. And if Howie
come on,
isn't okay nice. With that,
come on, man. You can't let this old head beat you.
It's still, Paris not even old. Is he 30?
Oh, he's not old. Yeah, you're right. He was in what draft class was that? Was that the
Jay Jaw? Yeah, because the Eagles
full
wanted
circle.
Paris.
Full circle.
The Eagles wanted Paris in that draft. What they
speaking
took,
of, Jalen Reagor with a deep ball one-handed snag from Drake May for the Patriots, just saying.
The fact they brought him back is kind of funny. He kind of like has a home there, not a home, but like he the fact that he stuck around enough to remain on a roster for a second.
That team is so garbage, like talent wise. I'm just gonna say it. I'm just gonna air it out. I'm not gonna say any names or anything. But I work for another company. I do social work for a sports media company, and they were doing a Patriots preview, right? And we needed a graphic, and the social guy at the time put Jalen Reagor on the graphic. So,
what are we doing? What are we doing? Sure. We had a rare drop from Devontae Smith today. Hurts hit him in stride. He just dropped it. Doesn't happen often, but I was shocked to see it. So the only incompletion from Hurts today was on a Smitty drop. So I mean, we're not going to make a big deal about it, but it's just so weird to see it because you're like, dang, he doesn't drop those,
hope
get them out the way now.
The guy I want to see most creatively used, yeah, get him out of the way. The guy I want to see most creatively used in this offense is Devontae Smith. With Kellen Moore, you know, like the motion, moving him around. Yeah. I mean, just go watch his college tape. That's what they did at Bama. He was all over the place, you know?
He's going to be Kellen's, like, Keenan Allen in this offense, I feel like, as far as motioning and all the intermediate stuff. Like he's going to dissect defenses with the things that Kellen Moore can do with
them.
And you're right, Alabama,
like,
they moved him everywhere.
So. Doesn't Devontae, I'm not saying this to slight anybody else, definitely not slighting A.J. Brown, but it just seems like A.J. Brown always dominates practice because he's just like a, like, I'm not saying Devontae's not surefire, but maybe it's a testament to how great his connection is with Jalen Hurts, but Devontae just seems like a gamer. Like, he could literally go and practice and you just, like, not hear his name. Like, you're like, yeah, Devontae looked fine. And then game day comes and he's out there just, like, you know, literally putting on the Batman cape, you know?
These guys don't need camp. Like, they show up because we want to get the reps in, but, like, this camp's not for them.
I mean, you just want them to be healthy and, yeah, get the offense down.
You're learning an offense and they're doing the whole bit now. I will say Hurts' knee or whatever was bothering him last year, 100% healed, fast, spry. Looks good. Looks good. He looks quick.
Love to hear that because, like, you know, I've been watching a lot of Team USA lately and it appears Embiid has that bulky ass knee thing going on under his sleeve. I just, I'll do anything for healthy knees for our superstars in the city, man. Yeah. I just can't take it.
Whatever was bothering him last year looks to be healed and ready to go. He looks good. He's running quick, a lot quicker than he looked for 75% of the season last year. Like I said, on that motion play, he ran for about 20 yards and looks good. So that's good on that front. Another random note. Remember Anthony Harris, the safety we had for a couple years? He led the league in interceptions when he played with the Vikings, I think back in 15, 16. He works on the Eagles staff now, so it was interesting to see him. He works with the Eagles.
Is he like a Gannon guy?
Capacity.
He's an Eagles guy now.
He played with Gannon. I don't know if he's
Eagles
a Gannon
guy.
But he's on the staff now, so that's fun. That was fun to see.
Wait, Gannon took him to Arizona, didn't he?
No, Anthony Harris, once he left here, I don't remember where he went, but he did come back here as like a practice squad guy, and I think we released him, and I think he just like retired. But now he's back here on the staff, so I don't remember him. I don't remember him officially.
Oh, I'm
retired,
thinking of the linebacker who had that interception when they played Dallas, Kaiser White, right?
Oh yeah, he's with Gannon, Arizona. He's still good. He's still good, by the way. So is TJ.
I'll never forget that interception on Dak.
Yeah. I remember he had the pick in preseason, and I was like, we have linebackers, finally! And it was...
I was in Tampa at the time.
Celebrated
that Dallas loss.
That was a fun sight. Chauncey Garner-Johnson and Reed are the starting safeties. That goes without saying. They'll be the starting safeties week one. No shocker on that note. I think that's about it as far as camp's concerned. It's about a 60-minute practice. So we saw what we saw. Those are the depth chart notes. Anything on your mind to wrap this up? Anything as far as camp is concerned? Becton throwing up was kind of the highlight here.
Man. It's just so nice. I've said this to you a million times now, but I just can't believe how much my life revolves around sports, and it's been so damn boring. And just to see all these clips of the Eagles, I just can't even contain my excitement now. You know, at this point, I'm just dying to see him play. I'll take a preseason game, you know? I'll take a joint practice.
They have those now.
Why don't they live stream that?
Was I about to say? They did ask Saquon after practice about some of the hard knock stuff, and he was like, I mean, it is what it is. They asked Howie about it, too, and he was like, we mind our own business. Like,
I'm tired of hearing about it, quite honestly, at this point. Like, we touched on it plenty now. I don't care about the Giants. I don't care. Don't care.
Nor should we. They've won 4 games against us in the last 10 years, 4-16 since 2013.
First game at MetLife is going to be fire, though.
Oh, it's going to be amazing. Yeah, it's going to be great. But Saquon said he told AJ, I can't believe we get paid to do this. and he feels like a rookie. He's learning. I think it was when we were FaceTiming earlier, you heard him say he was asking, like, he feels like a rookie. He's asking where the family's at so that when my family comes, he has to learn the field. He has to learn all these things, but he's excited. And he was a busy guy today. Had multiple catches, multiple handoffs. He is going to be a focal point of this offense.
That was my big thing with him coming here, and I had a feeling this would happen for him. Like, you got to imagine.
He had, like, five receptions in practice today that I can't remember.
Everybody talks about the physical toll it takes on you playing the running back position, especially Saquon, who had to – I mean, my God, the guy touched the ball, like, 30 times a game for the Giants. But, like, even the mental thing, like, you got to imagine how refreshed he is to be here on this team in these circumstances, you know?
Yeah, he said he came here to build a new legacy, compete, and win championships. And that's what I like to hear from our stars that come from division rivals. So let's hope that the track record of poaching NFC East divisional stars does not repeat here. And Saquon is very good in the 2024 season. He looks like he's going to be busy this year, and I'm happy to see it. He and Hurts look very cohesive in the backfield to this point. Want to thank you guys for tuning into this edition of the Philly Pod. Wanted to get up here and talk about some stuff that we saw in training camp. The motion is what I was excited about. So we were getting it early, and it looks like we're getting it often. And
we're going to have to really update that Madden playbook, and they're not going to have it. It's all this new shit. Now they're going to have the Eagles offense of last year on that damn game. You know?
They're going to have the pistol up in there to try to figure things out. Keep it locked here, guys, throughout the week as we continue to break down training camp for you guys. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, anywhere else you get your shows. Be sure to download the Autograph app to stay in tune with all the Eagles content in one nice streamlined place for you. Sign up with referral code PhillyPod. You can find the link in the description. Click that, sign up. You'll be good to go from there. You'll see me in there, get your rewards so you can enter the giveaways for jerseys, for tickets, so you don't miss out on the good things going on over there. I'm Victor Williams. Follow me at the PhillyPod. Do the same for Stephen Conrad Jr. on all social media podcasts. We'll catch y'all in the next one. Peace out from the PhillyPod. Go Birds!
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.